Welcome to the Massage Life Podcast. My name is Jordan Pearson. I'm a chartered professional accountant, and I'm here with the one and only Melissa Pearson, who just made me a wonderful cup of tea, because that's what we do now. We're old. We just sit around at night and we do puzzles. Aren't we doing a puzzle after this?
You told me we had to finish it.
Like a 95-year-old couple sitting in the nursing home doing puzzles, drinking our tea. One day that'll be us.
Come on, you love it.
I do love it. I do. Today's been a fun day. It's been a long day, but people don't care about this. So let's just dive into what we want to talk about today, which is something about non-compete clause. So we're going to talk about two things, non-compete clauses, mm-hmm. and then non-solicitation clauses, mm-hmm. right, in contracts, because you've had some recent experiences with this.
Yeah, so massage therapists in general are often contractors. Sometimes they're hired as employees, but we're often contractors, and meaning you have to sign a contract.
Right.
And the contract has several different parts of it. But the part that seems to concern a lot of people is, yeah, this non-compete clause. And so we just want to talk about what it is and why it shouldn't scare you too much and those sort of things. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
So we should preface this by saying that mm-hmm. we are not lawyers.
Yeah.
I'm an accountant. You're mm-hmm. a massage therapist. Mm-hmm. In no way is this legal advice mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Right.
Right. People shouldn't be listening to this podcast and walk away thinking, you know, oh, I've learned some great things. I'm going to draft my non-compete clause. Right. Like you should consult a lawyer. Yeah. Right. Both if you're preparing a contract mm-hmm. as, you know, one who's hiring somebody else to work for them, mm-hmm. and B, if you're an independent contractor who's been presented with a contract and you have some questions about mm-hmm. the validity of this non-compete clause, if there mm-hmm. is one, again, don't just take our word for it. You should consult right. legal counsel if you have some concerns.
Yeah.
Right. But that being said, I feel like we'll be able to talk about some useful things that will be helpful to some people. But
yeah.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly. Like all things we say.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if you're a member of a massage association, you may have access to some legal advice for free, which right. is nice, which is part of the, free. It's like, it's not free. You pay for it as part of your association dues, but you don't have to pay an additional cost to consult with the lawyer. So I've done that before. So I have hired a contractor, and so I needed to draft my own contract. And so I called a lawyer. I got to actually speak to the lawyer. Now, maybe it's different for different associations, but the one that I'm with, the lawyer said he can't, you know, review my entire contract and give me specific advice based on that contract.
Right.
He can just give me general advice. So he was able to tell me like what parts I should include in the contract, what things are important to have, but he wasn't able to, you know, review it and go through it with a highlighter and circle things with a pen. And I mean, he could, but I'd have to pay an additional fee for that.
Right.
So
right.
if you want to speak to a lawyer, check to see if you have a bit of legal advice with your association is a good idea.
Right. That's good.
That's helpful. Yeah. So the one document that I wanted to reference today is from the RMTAO, which is the Ontario Association. They put a really good document together called Leaving a Practice. And in it, it has a section about these two clauses. And so let's first just define what those two clauses are. So non-compete and non-solicitation. Did you want to kind of give an overview?
No.
Yes, do it. Do it right now.
I'm not prepared.
You just want to drink your tea? Okay, fine. Drink your tea.
I can try, and then you can fix what I've said. So a non-compete clause essentially prohibits somebody from being able to work after they leave their place of work, right? So whether you're working as an employee or an independent contractor, if there's a non-compete clause in your contract, once you're done, you can't go and set up shop right next door to the other clinic.
Mm-hmm. Or at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. And there may be some additional stipulations within that specific clause, but really that's kind of the, generally speaking, that's why it's in there, to prohibit you from opening shop right away, right? Or immediately after.
From competing in some way.
Right.
Right. They don't want you to be in direct competition.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll say something like, okay, within a period of 1 year, you right. can't do this. Right. And then after that, it's fair game.
Right.
Right.
So in contrast, what would be the non-solicitation?
The non-solicitation would be, I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. Like you're not allowed to, you know, if you leave a clinic or spa, you know, right after, just call up all your clients mm-hmm. and ask them to come see you. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I've set up shop at home, or I'm doing mobile massage, or I'm working at this other clinic. You should come see me. Mm-hmm. Right. So that would be a form of solicitation. Mm-hmm. And so a non-solicitation clause would prevent you or prohibit you from doing that.
Right. From encouraging those clients to come see you somewhere else.
Right.
Again, it could also be at the same time. If you're working for a clinic and also doing mobile on the side.
Right.
You shouldn't be convincing those clients, hey, come see me mobile or come see me at my house. It's $20 cheaper. Or like convince them to come see you elsewhere so that you pocket right. all the money.
Yeah, exactly. You would make more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the... Yeah, but these two clauses can be written up in a variety of ways with varieties of stipulations, so they vary drastically. And some contracts may not have those clauses, but they are very, very common. They're a pretty standard part of a contract.
Right.
Yeah, so there's lots of concerns around them. People are concerned that, oh, this will prohibit me from, you know, making an income, and I don't like this. And the big thing I hear is, oh, these can't be held up in court, so I'm just going to ignore it because... I've never heard of a case of it actually going through the court system successfully, so I'm just going to do whatever the heck I want.
Yeah, I'll sign the contract.
I'll sign the contract, but I'll do whatever I want. And there's some problems with that. So we're going to go through some things to consider when signing your contract.
Are you
going to
talk about what the problem is with that? Or you'll get to it?
It's on there, yeah. So okay. there's a list of 5 points, things to consider.
Okay.
I'm going to use this document as a guideline. So if you want to see this, we'll link it in the show notes.
This is RMTAO's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. So these are just some things to think about. So the first one is it reasonable? So they say a non-compete clause is only enforceable if it's reasonable, which will depend on where you live and the employment market in that area. For example, if you live in a small town, a non-compete clause with a radius of 10 kilometers might mean you're not able to work in that town, which would not be reasonable. If you're unsure, contact a lawyer to determine if the clause is reasonable. Now, this is kind of a segue into my story, which was that several years ago, I started working at a clinic nearby, and I didn't sign a contract when I started. They never gave me one, and so I didn't think to bring it up. I was like, that's fine. I'll just not sign anything then.
Yeah.
And then about 10 months into working there, they tried to give me a contract, and I was fine to sign one, but this contract was the craziest contract I've ever seen. And I've signed a few different places, and it was very lengthy and very... The way it was worded was very scary. They had a whole section in there about how they will sue you, and there were prices attached. Like, we will charge you this much if you solicit a client, and we will, you know, like, it's
interesting.
I knew that they were in active litigation with other people, and I was just like, this is scary. I don't like this.
Right.
And the problem was it said 10 kilometers. Well, we live in a very small city, and
10 kilometers.
10 kilometers is the whole city.
Is the whole city.
So I thought, I think it said 1 year, maybe even 2 years after I was done working there, I can't work within 10 kilometers. And said, okay, so when I eventually am done working here, which I didn't have a plan really of how long I'd work there, but when I'm eventually done working here, I want to still be able to work in my city. I don't want to have to travel.
Right.
Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And so I didn't like that. And I did eventually want to work for myself. And so I went to them and I said, I don't think this is reasonable. I don't feel comfortable signing this. And they said, well, too bad. This is what our contract is. And I said, okay, well, I'm not signing it. We kind of just got into this like deadlock of they wanted me to sign it and I didn't. And I said, well, I guess I'll have to quit then. I thought for sure kind of at that point when I was like, okay, well, I guess I can't work there then. Then I thought for sure they'd say, okay, we'll sit down with you. But no, they refused to sit down with me. And so I left.
Crazy.
It was really unfortunate because I was so busy there. It was in a dental office. And well, they had it was multidisciplinary, but it was primarily dental. And I have pretty extensive background in TMJ treatments. And they referred so many of their clients to me, their patients, to come get TMJ work. And so I thought, well, okay, you're lost.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate. I mean, a blessing in the end because whatever, bigger and better things to come. But it was kind of weird.
Interesting.
And in hindsight, yeah, that probably wouldn't have held up in court, but...
Yeah, but if they attempted to sue you, then you have to seek legal counsel.
Yeah.
You have to go through the process. Like, even if it doesn't... Even if it's not successful, you're going to incur legal fees.
Right.
It's going to cost you something.
Hopefully my liability insurance covers that. Because I think it does cover legal fees.
I don't know.
I would think so. But even just like the time and the stress surrounding that, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, right.
So no.
It's not worth it.
No.
It's interesting that that's the standard, reasonable, because it's the same standard for income tax laws from the CRA, right? When I teach my business and income tax course, that's when we get to the section on what can I write off, that's the very first thing that I talk about. It's called the general rule. Right. And this is from the CRA. the general rule is that whatever you're writing off, it needs to be reasonable.
Right.
Right. Is this expense reasonable and does it help you earn business income?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the standard.
Right.
That's the starting point. Yeah. And so whenever people throw out these outrageous questions to me, like, oh, can I write off like a part of my RV? Because sometimes I go, you know, camping with my family and I'll give massages. And so that should count. And it's like, yeah, but is that reasonable?
Right.
No, it's not reasonable.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
And I guess if it goes to court, the person who has to decide, is it reasonable or not, is the judge. Yeah, maybe some things are a gray area, but.
Right. And how they usually decide is they look at the precedent. They look at other similar cases.
Right.
Right. Did we let someone else do this?
Right. Right.
No. Okay. Well, then I have to decide. I have to set the precedent. I'm going to say no. And now there is a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't write off a portion of your RV or whatever. I'm just giving a hypothetical example. But again, going back to what you were saying, it's not reasonable. Maybe in some cases it is.
Right.
But certainly in your specific situation, it wasn't reasonable.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have been able to work
in the city that I live in.
For at least a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to commute to another location.
A whole different city. Like, that's pretty outrageous.
Right.
And probably additional costs incurred by that because I didn't have to get like a different business license. And it's like too crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Anyways.
Yeah. And so the next point on here is about, do you agree with it? So I didn't feel comfortable signing that because I didn't feel like it was ethical. And this is what it's. What the document says about that. It says some RMTs may sign a contract that has a non-compete clause or non-solicitation clause they disagree with because they believe it will be non-enforceable. It's considered unethical to sign a contract when you don't intend to follow all of the terms and you have no guarantee that a court will take your side.
Right.
So bottom line, it's like, if this isn't something, it's just so... It's
yeah,
not holding integrity.
I've never, you know, it's interesting when you read that to me today because I've kind of had that same opinion. You know, if there's a non-compete clause that you don't really agree with, or you know, it's not going to be held up in court, well, just sign it anyways because you know you're going to be fine. But really, it's you know, it comes down to your integrity, and it's not ethical, right? Like you're not being true to yourself, you're not being honest, right? Your intentions are not good. And so you shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And courts aside, like a lot of times people aren't going to bother, right? The employer's not going to bother. It's so much work for them too. And it's like, they're not going to bother. The point of the contract is for both parties to be in agreement about what the situation is.
Yeah.
And it just feels so icky when it's like, actually, my intent is to steal all these clients or my intent is to open up shop next door.
Yeah.
It's like, no, let's just agree on things together. Let's not make it all about, oh, well, is this going to go to court or not go to court? It's not what it's about.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they don't want to sue you.
No.
And, you know, you don't want to be sued by them.
No.
Right? Nobody wants to, you know, get lawyers involved.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Next point is no one owns the patient. So I've always loved that point. Like some people are like, well, this is, you know, the clinic might say, well, these are our patients. It's like, these are free people.
Yeah.
They can do what they want to do.
Last time I checked, we don't practice slavery in the 21st century.
Exactly. And so it says, no one owns a patient regardless of what a non-solicitation clause may say. The patient can choose to seek health care from whatever health practitioner they'd like.
Okay? Period.
Period. Yes. That's what that it says about that. They can go wherever they want.
Right.
The non-solicitation clause is about you telling them or asking them to come follow you.
Right.
But if they choose to follow you of their own accord, I mean, we all have Google. They can find you.
Right.
That's their choice.
Right.
And you can't be penalized for that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So make sure when you get started on your own that you set up a Google profile, a Google My Business profile, and you have good SEO so that when people search for you, right? Like, maybe, you know, this kind of goes back to something else we've talked about. When you set up shop on your own, you know, sometimes it's good to operate under your own name at first because people know your name. They don't know the obscure, weird business name that you just gave your business, right? You know, it's going to be really hard to find you. But if your business is Melissa Pearson, RMT, right? People are going to be able to find that when they Google you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not just like a side point, something to think of.
And also another recommendation, if you just move to another clinic, some clinics I've noticed don't have a listing of all the massage therapists on their webpage.
Or it takes them 6 months to update it.
Yeah. And so you could ask the clinic, hey, I have clients who want to come see me. I can't solicit them. Please have a listing for me on your website because that will drive traffic. That'll drive clients
yeah.
and make me busier, therefore make the clinic busier, therefore make you more money. So they should really have your bio on the website. It shouldn't be hard to find.
Right. Right.
It is also nice that many of the associations have a find a member listing, right? So people can search for you that way. But in a province where there's lots of associations, that might be challenging for clients because they're now going to have to, if they don't know mm-hmm. what association you're with, I mean, they could look on past receipt or whatever, but they may not know. And so it might be hard for them to, they don't want to search 5 different websites.
They're not going to do that.
They're
not going to do that.
Exactly.
Most people don't know that that's a thing.
They don't even know that's a thing. That's a good point. Yeah. All right. The next one is, would it fulfill what should be its intended purpose? A non-compete clause shouldn't limit your ability to find gainful employment or the patient's ability to seek care whenever they choose. Limiting either of these things would be illegal. A non-compete clause should be intended to limit a clinic's loss of business assets when a therapist moves on. So at the end of the day, if it's prohibiting you from working, then that's not the point. The point isn't for you to now be poor for a year or for however long you're stuck into this contract.
Right.
It's not the point. And so if it's not fulfilling that, then it's not proper. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. The last thing is, if you're unsure whether a non-compete or non-solicitation clause is reasonable, you should consult a lawyer to review it.
We've already said that. Yeah. We're not lawyers. Don't take legal advice from us. Were there any other stories you wanted to share about experiences with non-compete clauses?
I did have a friend who tried to get sued by a clinic.
Was sued by a clinic.
She was sued.
Right.
When you say that, when someone was sued, does it actually mean that it was successful, or just means you were served papers?
Yeah, it doesn't mean that the outcome was positive, in favor of the person that was doing, like, the plaintiff,
yeah.
right? So the plaintiff is the one that's doing the suing. Mm-hmm, the defendant mm-hmm. is the one who has to defend the lawsuit right. against them, right?
Okay, so she was sued.
Okay, so she was sued.
Yeah, we worked at the same place.
Right.
This is a different place from the other story I told.
Yeah, yeah. We're being sufficiently ambiguous.
So yeah, you won't that be able other to. Place yeah. that worked.
But it wasn't successful.
No.
The plaintiff was not successful.
I think it went to court. Like, they actually had a court date, and it was a whole big ordeal, but in the end, the case was thrown out.
Right.
And it was I don't know if the full story. I was going to say it was just the non-compete clause. I think she opened a clinic, like, close by. It also might have been the non-solicitation, though.
Right. We don't know.
I don't know.
Know.
I don't know. Don't know. I don't know the whole we story. All I'm saying is these things can go to court, because I've heard from a lot of people, Yeah, right. I'm ever going to go to court. I'm never going to be sued. You might be.
Yeah, you might be. Do you know of people who've been in that position before. Yeah.
So just be careful signing your contract. Know what you're signing. Don't sign it just willy-nilly, not even reading it. It's important to read it. And I do think most workplaces are willing to negotiate the contract. I am, as someone who's hiring. If you have problems with my contract, I'm willing to edit it until we're both happy. It should be an agreement for both of us to be happy with.
Yeah.
And so
let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I think most places are. Obviously, that one story I told, they treated me like a number and didn't care or whatever their problem was. But I think most are willing to negotiate it. And so if you have an issue with something in the contract, just sit down with your employer and talk about it.
Right. Yeah. Great advice, Melissa. You should be a lawyer.
Yeah, right.
Did we want to talk about my case study?
Your case study?
Yeah, this business idea that I had.
Okay.
Sometimes it's nice. I have no idea if there's any merit to this whatsoever. But sometimes it's nice to take ideas and completely turn them on their heads,
mm-hmm.
right? And look at them in a different way.
Right.
And so, imagine someone's like yourself. You're trying to hire people to work for you. Right? Independent contractors, you do mobile massage. And so say you have someone that comes and works for you, and you're going to have no non-compete clause, no non-solicitation clause in your contract. You just hire this person with the intention of helping them get set up on their own, right? So you have a therapist come, they work with you for, let's say it's just a 1-year contract. It's like, okay, you're going to work with me for 1 year. I'm going to help you build up a clientele. Right? Get some business. So I will make money off of you as we do that, as we work together. Clients are going to come see you. And then after that 1-year term, you have either the option to stay with me, continue to work as an independent contractor underneath me, or you go out and you work on your own. right? We cut ties. I've helped you to build a clientele, a client base, and you now go and you do things on your own, mm-hmm. right? You have to take care of all the admin. You have to set up Jane, you know, the booking and billing software, all that stuff. Like, you're free. I've like mentored you, and now you're free to go off on your own. And I think that there's some value to that. I could see it being really valuable.
Right.
Right? Because, you know, if you did that, if you had a number of people that worked for you, and you're, it's kind of like this mentor-mentee relationship, and you're mm-hmm. just like coaching them and helping them to get established. Because let's be honest, the market is huge. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of massage therapists, there are a lot of people who go for massage. Like, it's a multi-billion dollar industry in Canada alone. Like, the amount of money that is pumped into massage is crazy, right? And so if you're seen as someone that is, you know, being helpful, trying to help therapists establish themselves, get grounded, you know, build up a client base, and then, you know, do things on their own. And some of them may decide not to. They're like, you know what? I like this arrangement. You know, you've helped me to set up my own practice. I don't really want to have to deal with the booking and billing software. So we'll just like continue with this, you know, 70-30, 80-20, whatever we end up deciding, right? And then they continue to work under you. Great.
Yeah.
Right. Or they just go off and they work on their own. Right. Like,
yeah, definitely be a unique idea. Do you think if you were to do that, that the split would be different? Do you know what I mean? Almost like they have to pay a little bit for that type of a service. Right.
I don't know.
Right. It's more 50-50 or something
right.
like.
Like, I don't know. Like, it kind of, you know, it's interesting going back to what you were saying about, like, you know, people who make this claim that, well, these are my patients, right? Like, these are, you know, like, these patients belong to me, the clinic. Like, I helped bring them in. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, nobody owns the patients, mm-hmm. right? And I think about your practice. You've done really well for yourself, and there are a lot of people who love you. And I don't think that there's any risk whatsoever, right? If you hire somebody and they're working for you for a period of time, and it's not like they're going to steal all of your clients away. Right. Like, I think you're confident enough in your abilities as a massage therapist that, you know, you're not afraid that you're going to lose people to somebody else. And if you do, so be it. Right. Like, you know, it's been interesting. You know, you have an independent contractor that works for you, and, you know, you've lost some of your clients to her because they like her, and then vice versa. You know, they'll go mm-hmm. see her for a little while, and then they end up coming to you. And so there's like this natural trade-off, right? Like, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that, mm-hmm. right? There's so many people out there. Mm-hmm. I just think, I mean, I have no idea if this would work at all, but it's just a kind of a different way to look at things, because right. people are always so hung up on these non-compete clauses, and they, mm-hmm. you know, like, they're terrified of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you terrified of them as the clinic owner? Why are you terrified? Yeah. Are you terrified because you're not confident in, you know, the therapists that you have working for you? Like, if I've built a team of incredible therapists, I'm like, I don't care, right? I know I have a good team here.
Yeah, right? But then if they all leave, though, but then you have nobody, and then you don't have a business.
Right, and you know what? And then that goes back to what, who did we have on? Kelly, remember, like, mm-hmm. a couple months ago? This is mm-hmm. quite a while now. Right? You talk about like other things that you can do to keep your therapist working for you. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's, yeah, it is different if it's, you know, a clinic owner who's not a massage therapist, who's not working, like you just own the clinic and then you have an army of therapists that are working for you. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're at risk if all of those therapists leave. Mm-hmm. But in your situation, you're working, right? You have bodies on the table, you're massaging every day. And so like you yourself are generating income. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah, you'd lose a portion of income if that therapist does leave.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like that your business idea, this model only works from mobile, because you would have like, your therapist would really be coming and going, right? Because
yeah.
you have them for a short period of time and then they leave. Whereas a clinic needs to have a consistent, you know, army of RMTs, because you have these rooms to fill. You're paying the lease on these rooms. You can't just all of a sudden 1 month not have anybody there.
Like, yeah.
You need to keep your therapist. You can't just be like, bye, go off on your own and take all these files with you. See you later. Like,
yeah,
it
totally.
Just, I don't think it would work for a clinic. Maybe it would. I don't know. I'm open to
yeah, there's,
ideas.
Again,
and stuff,
like different way to look at it. And I'm not saying that, like, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I have no idea if this would work at all. And I think to your point, it does, it seems to make more sense for a mobile practice, right? Yeah. Because you have less overhead. You basically have no overhead,
yeah.
right? And so if you have, you know, a ton of people working for you and then they all decide to jump ship, Well, yeah, certainly you're going to lose a little bit of, you know, income, but it's not going to hurt you in the sense that you have to close your business because you can't cover your overhead.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Like you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like this idea of like turning things on their head, like totally flipping it. The Radical RMT, Radical Massage Therapist podcast, she did a similar episode a little while ago of flipping things on their head. And so she said, you know, if you're a therapist that's always working evenings, try working only daytimes.
And see what happens.
Yeah. Like, why are we so stuck in our ways, right?
Right.
Or she said, what if you, right now, you're only working with senior citizens? What if flipping and only work with kids for a while? Like, just try something like the complete opposite. Right. Of what you currently do, and sometimes magic happens, right? She lists a whole bunch of different ideas.
Totally.
And so,
yeah, like for example, like if you're the type of person who's always honest on your tax return, like maybe just like 1 year, just full on, just commit fraud and just see what happens.
See if you love jail. Maybe you know.
I mean,
I've heard it's great. You get fed of it. You don't have to make your own meals. It's perfect. You don't have to talk to people. Just hang out in your jail cell.
Just hang out in your jail cell.
Great.
It's fine. It's like those people, we've talked about this before, those people who are like, well, you know, I wrote this off and I never got caught. It's like, yeah, but you did, you were dishonest. You know that you were doing something dishonest. For those of you who don't know me, I was being sarcastic. So yeah, don't do that.
Jordan gave me permission.
Jordan told me that I should, you know, commit fraud. No, you should be honest at all times and in all things and in all places.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
This is all for me.
That's all for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Love you guys.
See you.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We've included the links to these in the show notes. Also, be sure to check out our website, onlinewellness.ca, if you need any continuing education credits. All of our courses have been approved by massage associations across Canada. Anyways, we'll catch you next time.